such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome, TGIF. You can't hear. You can't hear anything?
Nothing.
Tony. We keep talking.
Okay.
Anyway, but you can hear me.
I can hear you.
Okay. Anyway, we're kind of spooked over here today because it's like the lights are going on and off.
Okay,
and
something electrical then maybe.
Right, yeah, perhaps. I'm ready to call an exorcist. But anyway, welcome everybody to TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. And now this is really perfect weather for
Halloween.
Halloween.
They say that it's going to stop raining. So by Sunday, it should be a little bit better.
Yeah.
I like it like this, but still.
Yeah. This is your kind of weather.
This is my weather.
So anyway, let's begin. We'll begin with prayer, and then we'll talk a little bit about Halloween and All Saints Day and All Souls Day. We will be back on the radio on All Souls Day, so we can talk about that then. But let's not wait. Let's pray. Let's do that. But, strange things going on here. I have to tell you about, let's pray and then I'll tell you about that. Okay, everybody, let's just put ourselves in the hand of God, and focus. Okay, we're okay. We're fine now. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, great. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. We pray a decade of the rosary. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Hallowed be.
I know where I'm
not much.
That's okay.
Let's start again. Our Father.
Let's just go right into the decade, okay?
Okay.
So today is Friday, so we'll let's.
The sound is good.
The final mystery mm-hmm. of the sorrowful mysteries, the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the source of our redemption and salvation. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, a world without end. Amen.
O my Jesus, forgive us our sins. Save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those who are in most need of thy mercy. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And now, trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Wow, what a day already. I mean, you know, so are we okay?
Yeah, all right. It sounds like we're okay. It is amazing how you have to pay attention.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't. It's work. It's hard.
So this is the way the day's been. You know, it brings back anyway, for everybody who maybe doesn't know why we were tripping over those prayers is because the wise man.
The wizard,
the wizard behind the curtain. There.
That's what I was thinking. He was way ahead. He knew everything was going on.
He had to run over here, and something was going on. I don't know what was going on, but so he was all over the place. And
but the hand motions, keep talking.
Keep talking as we're trying to pray. Anyway, so.
I make fun of you sometimes because you get distracted very easily.
Oh, I do, yeah.
You do. You get very distracted. Easily. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, okay, well, I'm going to be the example.
No, in fact, I don't know if you realize, but you even cut me off on the creed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because so. I could barely hear you. I could hear you speaking, but yeah. I couldn't hear you with the microphone.
Anyway, we're sitting ready to go. But this is why today, so this brings me back to, takes me back to, got a couple of little stories just kind of milling through my mind, but years ago when, first of all, today, so what's happened today is, so I was in my room this morning and I was, I do this rebounding exercise, you know, that for 45 minutes, it was pretty early. And so the lights, one of the lights started to flicker. And so I thought, I'm going to have to change the bulb on that light. Then another light was flickering. And so all of a sudden these lights were going on and off. There was maybe a 5-minute interval, and then there would be another, and then it would dim and all this kind of stuff. So I thought, I didn't know what was going on, but so anyway, it crossed my mind, you know, an experience I had when I was writing the book, A Mother's Plea. You know, before I didn't know it was going to be a book, so I had these, you know, do you remember the reflections? So
I want to say pamphlets first.
Pamphlets, yeah.
And then you made Bound.
Yeah, didn't expect that it was going to be a book. So there was this period where after I had made had consecrated my life. By the way, you notice I'm wearing the miraculous medal because of something that I was listening to yesterday evening, which I meant to download and I didn't because it was more of a vocal thing.
Gotcha.
But anyway, there was a period of maybe 3 years, I don't know how long it lasted, 3 or 4 years after I consecrated my life to the Blessed Virgin Mary because I wanted to deepen my priestly consecration to Christ. And the so one of the chapters happened to be, it was called A Satan's Plea. I mean, no, the book.
The Mother's Plea.
The Mother's Plea. Yeah.
I think he's around, Father.
Yeah, I think you're right. I wonder if we're going to make it through the show. Satan's Trap.
Satan's Trap.
Satan's Trap. The book is called A Mother's Plea,
right.
But the chapter was Satan's Trap. And I was sharing the experience that when I first came to St. Stanislaus Kostka, so this is 31 years ago. Now, I had 9 years, you know, really good years in the seminary from a spiritual perspective. When I say good years, what I mean is nothing really out of the ordinary. I mean, there's the constant struggle, the, you know, learning to pray, you're in formation, so you've got these growing pains, and you're trying to mature, and you're trying to be prepared for the priesthood. So you had 9 years. It was a crazy time in the church, no doubt, as it is now, even more so now, I think, than then. Which is really part of this diabolical disorientation that is really gripping the world in the present time. We have to keep remembering that Christ is the Lord of history. And, you know, I keep thinking of what Pope John Paul II said, that we're up against a final confrontation between the church and the anti-church, the gospel and the anti-gospel, the Christ and the antichrist. And it's all under the umbrella of divine providence, and it's a trial we have to take up. And so certainly, you know, we're feeling that in a wide variety of ways. But in any case, I came to St. Stan's, and something really suddenly something really changed in my spiritual life, in the sense that I couldn't pray, or I had real problems praying before the Blessed Sacrament, because I got the 9 years in the seminary. I always say there were four things that really got me through the seminary. It was certainly the Holy Eucharist, and I would go often to the St. Francis Xavier Church, which was a college church, an old Gothic church. It was very beautiful. I used to spend literally hours there. Of course, I had the chapel in the seminary. Then I went to the Pink, what they call the Pink Sisters. These are sisters who they're called the Holy Spirit Sisters of Perpetual Adoration, and they have a beautiful, beautiful convent there. You're separated by this grill, but you can see the sisters in prayer. They have perpetual adoration. And they wear beautiful pink rose-colored religious habit, and traditional, very, very traditional religious habit. So it was just the whole ambiance was just so sacred, and you could smell always the incense that they had used for the when they, at whatever point during the Mass, or it just kind of lingered, you know, in the chapel. And so I spent a lot of time there, and that's how I got through the difficult days of the seminary, or my own inner struggles and all that. So it was the Eucharist, the Holy Eucharist, and of course the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Rosary, and Pope John Paul II and Mother Teresa of Calcutta. So I would say those were the four pillars that really, it was through these four means that I felt that I really had the grace to persevere and make it to ordination. I mean, even about a month before ordination, I convinced myself that I wasn't being called into the priesthood, you know, and tried to convince this was after a 3-day retreat, and it's amazing how you get to discern the spirits, because the devil toys with your head, or could be your own psychological disposition or whatever it might be. But in any case, things were somewhat normal, I would say, until I got here. And when I was at St. Hyacinth, I was there 6 years. This is only my second assignment here at St. Stanislaus Kostka. But St. Hyacinth was just really the honeymoon years of my priesthood. 6 years, just beautiful years. Very beautiful. I wasn't pastor, so I didn't have that kind of responsibility. When I was able to work with the people, we had Bible studies, and we did a lot of pilgrimages, and had a young adult group and a youth group, and we just did all, we had a lot of, it was just a wonderful, wonderful time. And then I came here in 1990, and it was like immediately there was a sudden change, and so that even before the Blessed Sacrament, I felt the absence of God. And of course, I couldn't speak the language. I was working with the Spanish-speaking people. I didn't know the language, so I had to either sink or swim, right? And so that was a real burden for me, because you're just reduced to being a baby, you know, basically learning to, because you're learning to speak, you're learning to hear and understand, you have to learn how to pronounce, how to read, write, everything. And that takes a long. It took me a long time, but by the grace of God and the grace given to persevere, I was able to get to those first 31 years. Brings me to this point, you know. But anyway, the point I wanted to make was, one night during this time, there's much more to the story. I'm trying to keep it somewhat brief, which is very hard for me to do. But there was one night that I had gone to bed, and I found myself in a state of paralysis, complete paralysis, and I couldn't move, and I felt this evil, I mean a real evil presence roaming through the room.
Wow.
And I knew that I was, that this is, you know, I was going to be murdered. I really believed that I was going to be put to death. It was just an evil, dark, ominous presence. It was moving about the room, and the only thing I had in my mind was, I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be murdered. Whatever this is, it's going to kill me. And as I was feeling that strange fear, coupled with the evil, this ominous, dark, evil presence, I heard the Lord speak to me and say, "You will not be. This will not harm you." And I felt this shield of protection come over me. Really felt this shield of protection come over me. But even as I had that shield of protection over me, I could still feel that evil, dark, ominous presence moving, coming closer and closer, and just kind of over me. And all I could say was, inside myself, because I couldn't speak, I kept repeating, "You have no power over me. You have no power over me." And it finally dissipated. It went away.
Wow.
That happened to me 3 times in a week. And the third time, I actually felt the breath breathing down the back of my neck.
Wow.
I could feel it. It was just unbelievable. And so that was, so I wrote a chapter on that called Satan's Trap. But it was, and it truly was a powerful experience insofar as it really brought me to put my trust in God. So, you know, when Jesus says, you know, to St. Maria Faustina, when he gave it the image, and Jesus, I trust in you, it's so true. And I think if when I wake up, or I mean, how often that prayer comes into my head in the course of a day or during the night, Jesus, mercy, I trust in you. But I wrote a chapter called Satan's Trap. What I was going to say is that it was a learning experience insofar as I know that we have a shield of protection over us. If we just keep our focus on God, if we keep our eyes on the Lord, there's a shield of protection. That doesn't mean that we're not going to be, as Jesus said, you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be hated, you're going to be an account of me, you're going to be hated, you're going to be an enmity with the world. When I was repeating St. Paul the other day, who told the priest in Ephesus that I leave with a clean conscience because I didn't withhold from you the full counsel of God, but you need to know that the wolves are coming and are going to divide and destroy, or try to divide and destroy. So we have to be firm in keeping our eyes on God and knowing that we've got a shield of protection around us. So anyway, I wrote the chapter, and I wrote these reflections, and I shared them with the people, so they were in the back of the church. And I was speaking with Christopher Young and his wife, and I don't know if he was married at that point or not. I think they were, or they were courting each other, but I spoke with them at the back of the church, and I was sharing with them these reflections. And as soon as I began to speak about this experience, that one half of the church lights kept going on and off, on and off, on and off. And it's never happened before. It had never happened before, never happened afterwards.
Wow.
But they were going on and off. So afterwards, and I went into my office, and Father Emo, do you remember Father Emo?
Yes,
God rest his soul.
Yeah.
He came into my office. He had read the reflections, and so he was. We were talking about that, and as soon as we started talking about that, the lights were going on and off in my office.
Wow.
I told Christina about that because she had typed them, because I wrote. I just wrote, and then I would have her type them. And so she typed them, and she said when she was typing this, she said the lights were going off and off and on and off in her office.
Wow.
So, I don't know. So today when the lights, so we've had this day where lights are going on and off. And
you thought we were going back.
It brought that back to my memory. But in any way, I probably shared this before. This is a completely different topic. I'm always reminded about it. I'm reminded about this on Ash Wednesday as well as Halloween. So on Ash Wednesday, which is the beginning of Lent, the kids come from Mass, and we give the ashes, and we say, you know, put the ashes on the forehead. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. turn away from sin, be faithful to the gospel. And of course, we're now in purple, and the priest is wearing a purple vestment, and the vestment's this very beautiful purple and with gold embroidered into it, and it's just very, very beautiful. And so Sister Susan, so she was the principal at the time, she said, could you bring the ashes to the school for the preschool students? Because they, you know, they don't come to Mass, they're just not ready for that. And so I said, yeah, I'd be happy to. So I took the ashes, I went to the preschool, I knelt down because, you know, they're going to come one at a time, so I'm at their level. Mm-hmm. And so the first person that came up to me, I began to, before I even put the ashes on his forehead, he said, oh, he says, I was Superman for Halloween, you know. So after that, every child told me what they were for Halloween. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
That was one of the cutest things, one of the funniest things, wow. Really, because they thought I was dressed up for Halloween, right? But anyway, let's see, where are we, Nick? I don't even see the time. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back and... Speaking of Halloween, we'll speak about Halloween. You know, we'll talk a little bit about Halloween and All Saints Day. And so don't go away. We'll be right back on Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
The cold and snow is just about here. And so, Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stanislaus Kostka is asking for donations of new or used men's winter coats. You may drop them off Monday through Thursday from 9 a.m. to 12 noon at the Soup Kitchen off the church parking lot. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Thank you for your generosity.
I'm Mary Fiorito, Winds of Change guest host, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Okay, Hal, well, now, this, I tell you, this is one of these days, you know, so... the demonic, like you said, distraction.
Just,
I get so easily distracted. So welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, the two Tonys. Speaking of Halloween, there's all kind of controversy around this holiday, and certainly it's gotten to be a big day as far as decorating and all that. I haven't seen anything this year because I haven't been out really to see.
Yeah,
but
there's nothing out there.
There's nothing out there. But there's all kinds of, you know, should you celebrate Halloween? Should you not celebrate Halloween? I'm of the opinion that, you know, we enjoyed it. We loved it when we were kids, you know. Yeah. We would dress up and go trick-or-treating and all that. And
Father, I love your perspective, but I don't know. I see different things now than I... I used to be the same way. Oh, it's Halloween. Oh, I want my candy. And I don't know if it's just, you know, you tend to have that, I don't know, that upbeat type of...
Well, but you're not an upbeat person, though.
That's what it is.
You're a...
But I've gone from, like I said...
Perpetual depression.
Yeah. Yeah, that describes it good.
A pessimist.
Yeah. I never used to be that way. Oh, no, I think I've always been that way.
No, so what? I think we're all a little bit like that, you know.
Yeah.
Not everybody. I mean, I always say I don't understand the concept of happiness. I know joy, but to be happy-go-lucky, I'm not that. But let me just say something about, because this is my take on it, and this is how I always understood Halloween. Now, first of all, you have to understand that Halloween is what does Halloween mean? But the Eve of the Holy Ones, Halloween, Eve, Hallowed Eve, Holy Eve, the Eve of the Holy Ones, or the Vigil of the Saints, because in the Catholic Church, the feast days began on the Vigil, just as in Judaism. This comes right out of Judaism. Everything begins on the, more or less, when as the sun goes down, then the feast begins. So the feast begins on the Eve, so Christmas Eve, the Eve of Christmas. We already began the celebration of Christmas when the sun goes down, and so the same thing with the Feast of All Saints. This is a feast day, sacred observance. So you get a Halloween. It literally means Eve of the Hallowed Ones, and it marks the beginning of the Feast of All Saints, or the Feast of the Holy Ones, Halloween. The feast days always began at dawn on the evening preceding the day of religious commemoration, and the commemoration actually begins in the evening. Like for instance, Sunday. The Sunday obligation begins the evening before, right? So Halloween kind of morphed into this celebration as a way, from what I understand, and again, you get different. I read different things on this as a way of, for Christians, it was a way of mocking the evil ones who have been definitively defeated by the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So Halloween's association with devils and witches and ghosts and goblins was the Christian mockery of the impotence of evil against the victory of Christ's death and resurrection, whereby the saints share in this victory. At the same time, Halloween marked the useless gasp of evil's attempt to further suppress the light of the risen Christ, which dispels the darkness of the devil's machinations and evil's futile attempt to shroud God's grace, which takes the sting out of death. So everything is, even the mockery of death, right, is a characteristic of Halloween, or the Halloween, which is the Eve of All Saints. Does that make sense? I mean, that's how I always understood it.
I've heard that too.
Certainly today the secularization of Halloween, I mean, it's not even that people, I don't know that people even dress up like witches and ghosts and devils and all that, but they still do.
They do.
And there is something to be said for those who do use it as a satanic way, you know, but anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. So I, you know, when people say, you know, oh, we shouldn't celebrate Halloween, we certainly don't celebrate the demonic, but it's a mockery of the demonic. Do people really understand, though? Because we live in such a secularized world, do people really understand that even Halloween means the Eve of the Holy Ones?
See, that is interesting, because I think unless you have that kind of background that you know what it means, then it's very easy for you to fall into the satanic part of it. And some people, it's an innocent thing. I mean, I think with most evil sometimes, most of the times, it's, you know, if you really know.
Well, I don't think it's an innocent thing. I think it's...
I think people innocently get introduced to things like that, because it's not... If people knew... Like, you know, they say the making a bargain with the devil. You know, we look at that and we say, oh, well, you know, the devil's this big horny guy with evil fangs. And no, it's subtle. You don't see it. It's temptation. I think of evil as a temptation for some.
Right. But there is the reality, the occult.
Yeah. And that's
when
different.
People open a door to that, just, you know, it could be child's play. You know, the teenagers seem to be fixated on that.
Exactly.
Which is, why is that, I wonder, you know, because teenagers really tend to be fixated on the occult.
I mean, I remember when I was younger, it was the same thing for me.
Why?
I don't know. And that's the thing. I guess the best way of saying it is this way. You get lured away from things like, oh, if I only do this, I can get riches, I can get fame. I guess when I was younger, I guess most teens, kids that are younger, they don't want to do the work. They want to eat. I shouldn't say just teens. I think most people would not want the work. The work of life. Let's say I want to be a famous baseball player. I don't want to do the practice. I just want the money. I want the fame. And if there's a way, whether it's a genie or some kind of evil, I can get that without the work, actually working for it.
A little confused because I don't understand the, like, for instance, I've never had that that inclination mm-hmm. to the occult. I do remember playing the Ouija board.
Right.
And it was the first and last time I did it because I asked, mm-hmm. I think I was maybe 12 years old or 13 years old.
Think about what are the things you ask in a Ouija board?
Well, that's...
Will I get married? Will I be rich?
Well, I asked... this was my question.
Right.
At what age will I die?
Oh, that's the worst.
I was 13... I had to be 13 or 14 uh-huh. years old, and I asked, at what age will I die? And it said, at the age of 15. So that was the last. That's the last time I played the Ouija board.
It would have been the last time.
And it was by the grace of God that I got through my 15th year of life. Yeah. In fact, I remember when I was 15. As a matter of fact, a woman had died of She was mm-hmm. a mother of many children, and it was one of the first funerals I had ever been to. Mm-hmm. And after that, I was convinced I had, I kept getting these horrible pains in my chest and all that. And I thought for sure that, because I think she died of lung cancer. Uh-huh. And, but anyway, yeah, that was the first and last. And at that time, it was just even before the movie The Exorcist or anything like that, it was just I don't know if it was a new thing, but, kids were getting it.
And that's the second part of this, the horror films. Now, I at one time, I loved horror films. I mean, I did. I liked that. But it then got to the point where it became, for me personally, a lot of that stuff was too real. It's like I always had that notion that be careful what you ask for. Things sure. could happen this way. I've always had that fear but I mean, I think when young people, that's the thing, there's people that they can go to 20, I'm just using a number, but they can see horror film after horror film. For me, after a while, it was just too much. I couldn't do it.
That's interesting. I spoke to somebody this morning, and I have a similar experience. I used to really like the war movies and all that.
Yeah.
And then I've never been into, really, I've never been into the horror movies.
No.
I'm not drawn to that. I don't have an inclination to that kind. That's not entertainment to me. I just don't like it. But I like the war movies.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, when I saw Saving Private yep. Ryan, I couldn't. That was the last movie I saw. And what was happening simultaneously is that I was dealing with the gang violence
yeah.
in the neighborhood, and I saw some really, really ugly things.
That could be kind of the thing tied in with it. That
exactly. So the reality, it just happened that I spoke to somebody this morning whose husband is a detective, and he doesn't he doesn't tune into the news and all that because he deals with evil on a day-to-day basis, and so. It's in fact, it's interesting about that because violence is certainly on the increase, and mm-hmm. you think we just had that blue mass on Sunday, this past Sunday, and it was a very powerful experience, but when you think about what these guys are, women and men yeah. and women, what they're up against.
That's Father. I'm glad you said that because it's what I've been thinking the minute you said it, and. Again, what the world tells you, what the world is, you have to see beyond that. I look at police officers, especially, and I know the bad things that are out there. Now, is that an excuse for the way they act sometimes? No. I mean, there's no excuse for stepping on a guy's neck, you know, and whatever. I simplify it that way because what I'm trying to say is it took me a long time, too, to realize the things these men and women see. And even yourself as a priest, the things you hear, the things that you are drawn into. It's not that you want this, but it's part of the job in a sense. That's why, again, when I hear these horrible things about the men and women that protect us, logic, goodness tells me you can't do this. This is not right. This is not right. That's why when you see something like that blue mass again, and I'm getting a little emotional here, but it was so beautiful. And when right. you've seen beauty like that in a sense of, you know, just the mass itself. But I mean, I know police officers. I've had issues with police officers, but there's been a lot of good police officers there.
Yeah.
It hurts.
For some reason, I'm thinking about, again, the occult and things that I do read about. I'm thinking of the what's his name, that Epstein guy that trafficking the
Epstein. Yeah.
Epstein.
Yeah.
Epstein.
Yeah.
Epstein. Epstein.
I can't think of his first name.
Jeff?
Jeff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Jeff.
Yeah, is that, you know, is that part of the occult? You know,
I believe it is
something that I don't understand. And there's
Jeffrey, yeah, Jeffrey.
And so it's just so stomach turning to even think about this. But the priests that really, you know, deviate from their consecration and get involved in the occult. Because I've heard about this, and it's related to the abuse as well, you know, of these young people. For me it's hard to comprehend how. Well, I will say this, that if we talk about our spiritual journey, and you know we're approaching the Feast of All Saints. They didn't have an easy, you know, Jesus was absolutely right when he said, you know, the path is very narrow and very few can stay on this path that leads to eternal life. And when Peter said, Lord, how then can man be saved? And Jesus said, for man it's impossible, but for God all things are possible. It takes, we're in the exile. We're in we're on the way. I mean, Jesus said that the devil is the father of lies, the prince of this world. He's the accuser. He doesn't, as you mentioned, the gross or the, you know, this is people would dress up like devils right. and ghosts and witches and all that kind of stuff. He doesn't come in a beastly, gross way. He comes as an angel of light to promise all those things that you were initially talking about, you know, the riches and fame and power and all this kind of stuff. If we're on that narrow path, if we're trying to, and again, with regards to the fathers of the church or the priest or bishops and all that, remember, Jesus said, Peter, I pray for you that you in turn strengthen your brethren, because you must know that Satan means to sift you all like wheat. If we're not astute to the sacred, you know, that means we really keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. And if we're not pursuing holiness of life, certainly, first of all, we stand in the light of God, then we're aware of our own darkness. And that should disturb us. But at the same time, it's not disturbing us in the sense that we experience that kind of paralysis, but it makes us all the more, should make us all the more, generous and cleaving to Christ, because we know that we have clay feet, we easily can fall. And but I think what may happen is, and this is part of the reflections that come through, it comes through my book, A Mother's Plea, is that because I was really disturbed by the number of priests who, you know, the number of newly ordained priests leaving the priesthood soon after they were ordained priests, apart from the side that somebody may go into the priesthood and, you know, if you don't, if you all of a sudden you find yourself not experiencing consolation, because we think, you know, with God it's got to be, you know, always going to feel good, it's always going to be consolation, but on the contrary, there's this consolation, but then in order to deepen the faith, Jesus would lead us into the desert or into the dark of night. I mention this a lot, and I don't think it's just somebody who attains to a high degree of sanctity, like St. John of the Cross. You know, we think, well, the great saints experience that night, that dark night of the soul, but it's something that's ongoing to varying degrees as we make our way through this this life, especially if God wants something very specific, you know, that you specifically, you're my emissary, you're my disciple, you're another Christ in the sense that my desire is to reproduce my life in you, and that should be the goal of the priest. It could be the goal of everybody. It should be that to be able to say, as St. Paul says, it's not I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. But when you can't, when you don't understand the nature of spiritual warfare, and you find yourself all of a sudden in the desert, or you feel the absence of God, or whatever it may be, and then you begin to turn to the world, to the things of the world, or then the vocation, this vocation of consecration becomes... well, it's just going to be a 9-to-5 job, and but there's no real spirit. There's no openness to the inner working of God's spirit. And then you run the temptation, because the devil's going to still try to bring you down. But then you begin to open the door to other things that can lead you into the occult.
Right.
I find it really fascinating, because it is the antithesis. When you hear about when you read about the abuse and its relationship to the occult, it is, especially with regards to a priest, it is just the absolute antithesis, the opposite of what he is or what and whom he who he represents.
Mm-hmm.
But I take it even beyond that. When you look at I forgot who it was from this. I don't know who the actors and actresses are these days or anything. I don't go to movies, and I just don't keep up with that. But there was this woman who just a very, not overly, just a very, she seemed like a really wholesome kind of a person.
Mm-hmm.
But she was involved in the occult, and the occult always is related somehow to perversion and sexuality. And they were part of a ring of. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I can't think of the person's name. I think I know what you're talking about.
But even looking at her, it seems like
you wouldn't think
that.
I think of just temptation itself. Just think about it, and I mean, you know, you're talking about. Okay, I'm trying to use an example, but you figure, and it's not temptation that gets you, in a real bad way, but. Temptation usually starts with something that draws you in, and then you almost give in and take it, and then you don't know where you're at after.
Well, that's why you and Nick says we got to take a break now. But that's mm-hmm. why we've got to cleave to Christ
exactly.
daily. It can't be, we've got to be constant. Our eyes have to be fixed on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to cleave to Him. We've got to pray constantly, unceasingly. And again, I say, you know, aside from having time for prayer, which is so hard for people today because life is so busy for everybody, but you've got to create that space. But it's this ongoing prayer from the heart. You know, Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus, have mercy, I trust in you.
Mm-hmm.
Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. Speak, Lord, your servant listens. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me with your Holy Spirit. But this unceasing prayer that allows me to know for certain that there is a shield of protection around me, and then I don't succumb to the because it's a gradual thing, right?
Yeah.
When Scripture says a just man sins seven times a day, it wouldn't be grave sin. I guess it could be, but
it is sin.
But it's sin. But it's these little things, you know, because we sin every day. That's where we're, you know, we have to do the examination of conscience and reflect on what did I do, how did I do in the course of the day, where did I deviate. I could have been more loving. I could have been more prayerful. Sins of omission, whatever it might be. But when we have no time or space for God, and we begin to drift slowly but surely into the ways of the world or into the spirit of the world, then we begin to more easily succumb to these things that can really entrap and really bring death to the soul. And I've talked about hearing and hearing the stories.
Yeah.
And how do I get out of this darkness once somebody has been engulfed by that darkness, which in the beginning was for them light, but then all of a sudden everything turns very dark and they find themselves in the abyss and they are looking for a way out. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony, and you're listening I'm Father Anthony Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
Here's something that you should know about what's happening at St. Stan's. The Daughters of St. Mary of Providence Religious Order operates the Providence Soup Kitchen on the premises of St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish. The soup kitchen serves a midday meal Monday through Thursday from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Anyone who needs a meal is welcome. If you can volunteer to help and serve meals on a regular basis, please call Sister Darlene at 773-870-2435. That's 773-870-2435. St. Stan's is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
I'm Father Tom Coyes, Winds of Change guest host, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change. The two Tonys here ready to wrap up. But let me conclude with this. One of my favorite readings, I make reference to it often from the Book of Revelation. This is the first reading that we listen to on the Feast of All Saints. I'm just going to read it and make a little commentary, perhaps, or maybe I don't need to. Maybe it just it just makes sense, right? But he says, "But I, John," who writes a book of Revelation, and he's caught up in this cosmic upheaval. It's at the end of I, John, saw another angel come up from the east, holding the seal of the living God. He cried out in a loud voice to the four angels who were given power to damage the land and the sea. "Do not damage the land, the sea, or the trees until we put the seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God." I heard the number of those who had been marked with the seal, 144,000 marked from every tribe of the children of Israel. I think the wound on my forehead is the seal that I got on the island of Patmos, where he writes, where he has this mystical experience, and I had my forehead cracked open. That's a whole other story. But I've been marked, okay? Right. So I've been marked. But that would be that. So that seal would be like the again. It could be the as I talk about the shield, right? Mm-hmm. The shield of protection that that it comes to all of us if we just allow God into our lives. So after this, I had a vision of a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation, race, people, and tongue. There you got the universality of the church, the mm-hmm. Catholicity of the church. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation comes from our God, who is seated on the throne, and from the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They prostrated themselves before the throne, worshiped God, and exclaimed, "Amen. Blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be to our God forever and ever." So what he's describing is a heavenly court, right? It's the whole book of Revelation uses a lot of cryptic language or language that is very symbolic to convey a reality. So, but this is what I love, this part here. "Then one of the elders spoke up and said to me," and by the way, I was actually in the cave where he had this religious experience. He was a prisoner on the island of Patmos for having given witness to Jesus. This is John, the beloved disciple, the beloved apostle. "So then one of the elders spoke up and said to me, 'Who are these wearing white robes and where do they come from?' And I love this. This one says, I said to him, 'My Lord, you're the one who knows.' And he said to me, 'Yes, these are the ones who have survived the time of great distress. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.'" Such a beautiful, beautiful pericope from the book of Revelation. Because our being washed in the blood of the Lamb is our participation in the sacred liturgy, the sacred mysteries, the Holy Mass, where we are being in a perpetual way washed in the blood of the Lamb. But it's also coupled with that, you know, that we fight the good fight, that we're in this world where there comes an attack to the mind, the body, the soul, and the spirit. And our survival is, again, that we cleave to Jesus. We cleave to Jesus. We got to keep our eyes on him. That's the only way we're going to know how to navigate through this valley of tears or this place of battle and bear the light that dispels the darkness. Again, and with the words of St. Paul again, I've said it so often, repeated these words, "Offer your lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship." Okay, everybody, God bless you. Have a happy All Saints Day. Happy Halloween, the eve of all the holy ones.
Kids, be careful. Yeah,
be careful. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
Become so obscure, it does not take that long. Can you see?